So Urology Alliance Management is an entity that we created kind of as our, I guess, answer to private equity in a sense. It's where a bunch of private groups can come together. They can keep their management, keep their tax ID, keep their autonomy, but we can partner in ways that we can improve our bottom line, our expenses, our contracts, everything from health insurance to vendor contracts, and we can do it by sharing best practices, you know, and then collaborating on combining our data to come up with, you know, the ways to just get better pricing and move things forward.
This episode of Vital Conversations is produced and distributed by Be Connected, a social media management firm in Northeast Wisconsin.
My name's Tim Cohen of Focus Solutions, and welcome to Vital Conversations. This is our series where we're talking to physician practice leaders about their business, what they're doing, and the role that information technology and data play in it. My guest today is Hawk Sindel. Hawk's the CEO of Urology Associates of Mobile, as well as managing partner of Southeast Urology Management. Hawk, you win the award for coolest name of a guest. Welcome. Glad to have you on today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, before we jump in, give people a little bit of sense of who Urology Associates of Mobile is and who Southeast Urology Management is.
So Urology Associates of Mobile is a 50-provider urology practice that stretches from Gulfport, Mississippi to Foley, Alabama. We've all the urologists on the Gulf Coast. Southeast Urology Management is a managed services organization that we created to help manage other urology practices kind of across the country to just help kind of roll out the stuff that we've done here and try to make everybody better.
So how long have you been at the practice, and how long has the MSO been going?
So I started Urology Associates in October 2017. Urology Associates was founded in 1943, so it's been around a while. The Southeast Urology Management has been around, I guess, ID concept about 2 years, in practice since August of last year, I guess.
Well, it's interesting with those two entities. I don't actually want to talk about either one of those today. There's a third entity that I'm really intrigued by that we're going to take a dive into that you guys are part of, called the Urology Alliance. Tell us about that. What is it, first of all, and how to get going?
So Urology Alliance Management is an entity that we created kind of as our, I guess, answer to private equity in a sense. It's where a bunch of private groups can come together. They can keep their management, keep their tax ID, keep their autonomy, but we can partner in ways that we can improve our bottom line, our expenses, our contracts, everything from health insurance to vendor contracts, and we can do it by sharing best practices, you know, and then collaborating on combining our data to come up with, you know, the ways to just get better pricing and move things forward.
Okay. We're going to dig into the data side of this because it's the big question that we're interested in today. How long has the Alliance been going? How many practices are involved in participating right now?
Alliance has 8 groups right now, and it has been going, I guess, about 3 months total.
You guys are pretty new, so it sounds like there's no merger, there's no change in legal entity, no combining of assets. This is really a collaborative of practices coming together to get some benefit from size and scale and working with one another. Mm-hmm. What are the things that the Alliance is planning to tackle? There are probably a lot of things you guys could do together. I know you've got some early initiatives that you're focused on right out of the gate. Talk a little bit about those and what you're doing to get started.
Our biggest initiative right now is around, you know, prostate cancer and improving our processes with advanced prostate cancer. So we all share an analytics program that can pull our data in, and it can process everything and really show us are we following best practice protocols? Are we doing everything that needs to be done? And each of us can come together and share our data and talk about how we're getting these protocols rolled out and come up with the way to improve everyone's. That will improve our bottom line from a standpoint of a lot, helping move the patients through the disease state process, which many more treatments will find gaps in care, appointments. All of that breeds better patient care and better revenue. I think that's our biggest push right now. And we're working with, you know, the pharma companies to do that. And they're wanting us to do that, obviously, because they're working for better patient care, and more revenue for us is more revenue for them.
Got it. Now, what you just said there in that one little beginning initiative is a big bite, right? We as an industry, some of us have been around, remember the first time protocols came up, you know, many, many moons ago. That's a big lift that people have struggled with. There's clearly a lot of data. So let's talk about how you are approaching that challenge. First of all, I assume that not all of your members are on the same EHR platform. Is that a fair assumption?
Correct.
So you're not going to standardize on the EHR, so it's not like the Epic view of the world where if everybody's on our system, it's fine. With people staying on separate platforms, how are you approaching gathering data, combining that data, normalizing that data from there?
So we have an analytics program that all of us use right now called PPS Analytics. It pulls out that clinical data from your EMR. It does it in different ways. Some people have discrete data. Some people use PDF where they have to, you know, the reading, they have to read the PDFs. And sometimes you have to manually go in and fill in the data that you don't get. Once you have it in PPS, we can all compare and contrast, you know, what we have and what we don't have.
So is that where you're normalizing the data across different platforms with different definitions to be able to combine it in some meaningful way?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. That's probably not the long-term plan on how you get the data. Where would you like to go with that part of pulling information in from multiple practices and multiple platforms?
In general, if you can, I mean, you just need, you know, better and better mousetraps. I think in the end, if you can have all this data in a big database that you can do whatever you want with it, I think that's the ideal. I think that data in is still as good as data out. So I think there's process improvements that have to be done there. And I think that there's room for improvement on that, and then just how do you, you know, find the way to put all this data in something, you know?
Now, as you guys pull the information together, are you building protocols that everybody's following, or are you just simply pushing the data back and letting people make their own decisions about how they're going to take care of different, you know, advanced prostate patients or whatever they may be caring for?
I think it's a collaborative process. I think most groups follow AUA guidelines, NCCN guidelines, and everyone designs their protocol that way. There can be some physician differences in that, and we all talk through it, and for the most part, everyone's doing the same thing, and there's always going to be exceptions with patients.
Okay. So you're saying because of the professional standards that were already there, everybody was reasonably close, right? All right. So the data, let's assume all the magic happens, we get it in. How are the various practices and providers inside the Alliance accessing it back, getting that feedback on how, I assume you're showing them how they're doing compared to everybody else in the Alliance. How do you push that back to the providers?
So that's the step that we're still working through. We have not done that yet. The idea, though, is to be able to show everyone sort of a contrast, here's what you're doing, here's what they're doing, they're better, you know, et cetera, and build friendly competition in that front.
You said you're 3 months in, so I assume that that's a coming step.
Yeah, there's a steps to do that. You know, there's a lot of, we got to get all the structure in place to make sure we do it HIPAA compliantly, and we have, get rid of the clinical data, and then just figure out the best process for presenting that. But that is the goal, is get it to look at everybody and compare apples to apples. And that's the plan.
What would be your ideal vision on how that information kind of eventually gets back? Are you looking at some real-time applications that the provider might be able to see as they're caring for patients, or periodic scorecards? What's the vision there of the output?
I think in the end, I mean, everyone wants real-time actionable data. I mean, a perfect world would be real-time reports that give you a summary that you can then click and drill down into where your issues are. I think obviously you're going to want screenshots when you do meetings with the groups to show everybody the snapshot in time type of thing. But for people to, they need actionable data to work with. So I think you need both.
Let's dive a little bit into the clinical situation. You said a lot of the, at least the initial focus is around advanced prostate care. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Would your collective physicians in the alliance say the one or two measures that they would like to see improvement on? I mean, that's obviously a unique situation, right? You've got a person pretty far down the disease curve. What are the outcome measures that you guys would like to be able to move?
I think we're going to, you got it twofold. I think if you look at prostate cancer as a whole, the, I guess, easiest yet one of the hardest measures is to just ensure patient frequency of appointments. Like, based on where they are in their disease state, are they getting their appointment and coming in and getting their PSA when they should?
If we don't see them, we can't deliver the care that they need based on where they are in the journey.
Yeah, it's a simple concept, but with EMRs and processes, a patient cancels the appointment, they may fall off the radar and you may never catch them again because they got to call and come back in.
Yeah, it sounds like almost some of the output may not be to the providers. It may be to the clinic operations to say, reach back out to this patient. Let's get them back on the schedule and keep them on track.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we track is our no next appointment. So we know exactly how many prostate cancer patients do not have an appointment. And then you got to look at it from, do they have an appointment within the time frame that they're supposed to have an appointment?
What is roughly the general industry standard on no next appointment? Is it pretty frequent that the patient will not be properly scheduled for the next appointment?
Oh, it's very, yeah, very common. I think there's, I would say most groups are probably still in the process of, hey, you know, go to checkout and they'll schedule your next appointment and they have it on a sheet. And then the patient says, oh, I don't know what I'll be doing in 6 months, but I'll call back and I'll get that on the books. And then they don't call back. It's not.
Yeah, like 6 months. 6 months becomes nine, becomes 12, and then we're way out of alignment. Let's talk about pharma. You mentioned pharma being a partner with you guys in this. Talk about their relationship. What do they bring to the alliance? What do they want from the alliance as you pursue that relationship?
Pharma, you know, obviously, you know, each of these different pharma companies has a different drugs and different treatments for advanced prostate cancer. And all of those, you know, they've got their very good treatments and they're all FDA approved. And it's just about getting them out to the physicians and making sure that the physicians, A, know when they need to be utilized and have a process for catching all the patients at the right time to utilize them. I think that's where analytics comes in. It's much harder just to rely on a patient to walk in the door and the doctor says, oh, yep, you meet this standard, we're going to do that. You'll catch a good number that way, but if you have a backup analytics behind that flags, hey, you missed these 15 patients for whatever reason, they didn't come in, they, you know, you didn't ask that question that day, you didn't see that PSA because it was at another office and you hadn't gotten that result in. So if they really are for the analytics and for the process of showing where your gaps in care are, and do they have a treatment that fills that gap in care.
And are they bringing analytics and data crunching kind of capabilities to the alliance? Are you guys doing all that?
All of that is inside, and all of that, you know, right now is, again, through the PPS analytics, which is through our GPO that we work with. But I don't think anybody really has the perfect tool for this analytic process yet.
Clearly, one of the challenges that we faced for 15 years now since we've been trying to digitize this is capturing that kind of clinical data, right? We do better on objective stuff around schedules and billing and those types of things. But when we get to the clinical stuff, the variation on what gets documented and how are you guys as a group working to address that so that the data are cleaner, they're more meaningful? And tell me what challenges you anticipate here in this first leg of this journey as you get that data as clean and thorough as possible.
I think one of the hardest things to do is to get all the data. So patient walks in the door, they've had prostate cancer for 10 years. They had their prostatectomy at a clinic three states over. You've got to get those records. You have to go through that process. Nothing is, it's all electronic, but it's not electronic. So finding the last PSA, finding the data, getting it in the system. Now, once you pull that into the system, none of that is discrete data. So none of that flows into any analytics platform. So now a person has to touch it and turn it into discrete data. So there's still a lot of manual power required to make it automatic.
So I'm guessing, as we start to land this plane and I ask you about the future, things that would continue to clean up that missing data, normalize it, turn the subjective data into more discrete formats, those are going to be high on your priority list as a group.
I think it's like if you're a new practice doing this, you take your data you have in your EMR, you dump it all into an analytics platform, you're going to have a massive cleanup project because you're going to have missing elements. It's going to be a manual review. So that's one whole project in itself, getting yourself to stasis. But then every new patient, unless you're taking that patient from diagnosis to completion, you're going to have missing elements that you have to go find and then figure out how to get into your system. So that's always going to be ongoing.
Yeah, fantastic. So Hogg, final question. You guys are doing this collaborative where you don't have ownership control, right? You're working with a lot of practices. This is a unique data challenge. You're doing clinical stuff with lots of different groups on lots of different platforms. You're early, but what are the one or two big lessons you've learned around data crossing organizational boundaries? If I use that big term, what would you share with our listeners about what you've learned about that process?
I think like everyone's at a different stage in what kind of data they have, how that data is set up, how that usable that data is. And I think that I think the biggest thing is just you've really got to start from inception and figure out like how you're going to get that data put in, because if you're not focused on how it's going in, you're never going to be able to use it. And I think every group's at a different stage of how they do that and how much data they have and what they're missing. And it's a very powerful tool now. And I think it's really the future of healthcare. And you have to make sure that your people, your boots on the ground, understand the importance of gathering it, getting it in the right format so that you have it. And I think my big future plan would be like right now, all of the data is back in, all of the process is back in. So in our process, our navigators use an analytics tool after the patient comes in, after the appointment, and go through and say, oh, these are the gaps in care. This is what you need. We need to call this patient back and do XYZ. How can we push that analytics, those things to the front end? How do we get it to the doctor so that when they come into the visit, the system says, you need to do XYZ now while you have the patient? That's going to save us resources on the back end, and that's going to give immediate patient care instead of going back and trying to do it after the fact.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Hogg, really like the story. I think there are probably things in both your practice and your MSO we could come back to discuss, but this story about the alliance, I think, is fascinating. Not only are you crossing all these organizational boundaries, but it really is the front end of helping physicians understand that their data and their information are actually another asset that they own that they can use to deliver better care and to grow their business. So really love your story. Thanks for taking a few minutes this morning and sharing it with our audience. I wish you guys all the best luck, and we'll come check in with you later and see how it's going.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Hawk. Be well.
Vital Conversations is presented by Focus Solutions. Focus provides integrated IT data and software services to physician practices all across the United States. To hear more stories about physician practice leaders and what they are doing, subscribe to Vital Conversations wherever you get your podcast.